Good morning. Good morning. It's Brenda Eschen, Shoshana, back with another episode of Zen Wisdom for Your Everyday Life. And some people might say, well, is it still life as we knew it, as we thought it, as we wanted it to be life? Is this just another day? Is it an everyday life, ordinary life? Is the sun coming up in the morning and setting at night? Or is it still high tide and low tide? Sometimes when your world is so seemingly collapsed, everything seems like it's upside down and inside out. And it could be. Because our thoughts have always been upside down, inside out. We've been living, depending on our beliefs, our thoughts, our hopes, our so-called needs. And this is where Zen comes in. We have focused a lot on our everyday life, and it's a very beautiful life. It's a very precious life. But we perhaps don't focus enough on what it is that doesn't change. What it is that makes it precious and wonderful. What is life itself? That's a Zen koan, a very important and profound Zen question, koan. What is life? What is death? That's fundamental, really fundamental to our practice. What is life? What is death? We don't really look at that so keenly. We sit, many feelings come upon us, many thoughts, many hopes, many memories. We see them, we experience them, we experience our breath, we experience the absolute beautiful joy of Sangha, which is the community that we sit with, which we think will last forever, that support will be there for us forever. We kind of lean into it and depend on it a little bit, or maybe a lot. Or we depend on our teacher or the teachings even, what we've read, what we've heard, what we've studied. We're always depending on something else. Counting on it to come through for us. That's a very, very blunt way of putting it, but that's about it. Will this come through for me? Will this sustain me? Will this sustain my dreams? My dreams. Will this work? Will this produce? Blah, 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 blah. It's always about getting something else from it. Let it, using it to make me feel safe, good, happy, on and on. And therein lies the entire problem. We even use life itself to provide for us. I want to have a good life, a happy life, a productive life, a virtuous life, whatever you want to call it. And again, no, 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 no. It's all mixed up. When it's always about me, 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 and everything has to give to me and provide for me and work for me, we're already lost in the darkness of ignorance. That's what one of the sutras says. Wandering, it says, may we be free from wandering in the darkness of what? Of ignorance, of our own ignorance, not of all these horrible people or horrible events or horrible fears. It's our own ignorance of what actually is here, what's going on, what we're here for, what we're doing, what's going on. You hear so many people say these days, what's going on? Shock. Well, that shock is okay, because as they say in Zen practice, the hard shocks, they wake us up. In fact, I remember my teacher would often say, you're not desperate enough. And I couldn't believe it when he first said it. He said, you got to be more desperate before it opens. What opens? What's closed? What do we need to be desperate for? Because then we're not complacent. when we're complacent, just going along and wanting everything to take care of us and provide for us. And sometimes we get a good little setup in our life and everything is working. We have the right relationships, the right job, the right family. And I'm not putting any of that down. That's very beautiful and wonderful. And it's even, to me, it's sacred. It's holy. It's precious. It's a gift, an enormous gift. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Not to depend on it to provide for me forever. No, things will always shift and people will grow. They have to grow. They'll come closer, they'll move apart. That's the nature of the waves in the ocean. It's the nature of our life itself. And right now we're seeing that very vividly. And it's very, very painful and frightening for most of us, including me. However, underneath all the confusion that we're all experiencing and the distress, there's a sense of, yes, this is the Dharma itself. Meaning this is life itself, coming and going, high tide, low tide. And when you really know that, you don't get knocked down by it. You don't drown in the waves. You're with it in a different kind of way, and also much more able to make a response that can be beneficial. That's the whole other question, what is and what isn't beneficial. Everybody in their own box, in their own belief system, in their own world, thinks something else is beneficial. And particularly, it's got to be beneficial for them. Yes, I understand that, that wish, that longing. And I'm not saying that there are not relatively in this world, we do have to take appropriate action to stop certain things, just the way high tide can only go so high and then it goes back down to low tide. We too, we can only allow something to go so far. We can only allow harm to go so far, whether it's in a relationship with another person or whatever. You might say, well, we shouldn't allow it at all. Well, That's another question. What really is harmful and what isn't? As we sit, we're able to include all emotions and moments. And what might feel harmful yesterday doesn't feel harmful today. We can see it with a broader vision, with much more compassion, with much more steadiness. When we really truly see it, truly, truly through and through, that there's no feeling of harm. I'm not saying there's not experiences of great loss, of course. There's great loss and great behavior that's horrendous. Nobody is going to say that that's not true. It is. But the question we're really asking here is how to best be with it, encompass it, experience it, react to it. You know, so many people are saying these days, how can I help? What can I do? I want to help. And that's very wonderful. That's very beautiful. We all do want fundamentally to help. What can I do? What can I do? So that's a very important koan. And a superficial response to it won't do. It won't really be enough. We have to go deeper. And in order to go deeper and to really taste the full picture, the reality of our life and death, and then we'll understand more and more. When we can encompass all of it, then we're in a much better position to make a beneficial response. And before we can even come close to doing that, it really is important, as I see it anyway, to be still, be quiet. Don't add to this huge ruckus and uproar. Be still and know. Be still. Be with it. Become aware and more aware of your own responses, of other people's responses, of everything. Just be still. And as you're still, you become aware. You feel what you're feeling. You hear what you're hearing. You don't lapse into some egregious fantasy that spins you around and around and also is very hard for others. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense. I hope it, Zen, you know, in the fundamental level, it's not supposed to make intellectual sense, because in truth, nothing makes intellectual sense. We try to grab the world intellectually, figure it out, tie it up. This is right. This is wrong. This I do. This I don't do. On and on. It doesn't. The Zen response is different. It comes from a different part of our being, of our knowingness. It comes from the silence. It's not logical or rational, but it's very vivid and very complete experience and knowingness, a knowingness that comes in a different way. And right now, that kind of knowingness is very beneficial, very needed, because this is nothing that can be solved intellectually, as I see it. If it could have been, it would have been by now. So instead, it's really what we call a koan, which means a question that pierces through to life and death, but cannot be solved rationally or intellectually. We must become really one with it in the most fundamental way. We must be it in order to know it. I like that a lot. We don't separate ourselves from it by thinking about it, pondering it, talking about it, but we become one with the situation. And then we really know it in a different way. So here we are. Now, this morning I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to make this. This is going to be a beautiful day. Then I thought, how can it be a beautiful day? Look at all that's going on. And I said, that's why it must be a beautiful day. We don't have to get pulled into everything that's going on. We make it a beautiful day and hold our reality in doing so. And I thank you very, very much for listening to this today. I'm really thrilled to be with you, and thank you for the wonderful emails that you send. It really is so uplifting and inspiring and helpful. I appreciate it very, very much. Try something different this week. Try to be silent. Whether or not you can sit on the cushion in Zazen, it doesn't really, I mean, of course it matters. It's wonderful, but if you want to sit on a chair, if you want to just stop in the middle of cleaning the kitchen, cooking soup at work, just be silent for a little while. Just sit down and just stop and absorb what's real for you, what's happening, your breath, the moment. Absorb it. Be with it. Return. When we say return, we mean return to now, to this moment. Return to reality. What is reality? Again, that is a koan. But when we're silent and still and we just return, then reality will show us. We're not going to have to figure it out. We'll just sit there and wait and be welcoming and open and let reality be reality. Let it show us what is real here and what is needed now. Thank you. The URL is www.zenwisdomtoday.com. Have a beautiful day.